This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Morning. I'm really excited. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Bernie. I'm helping Ross to build the church. And it's an honor and a privilege to serve here with you guys and bring the word this morning. Earlier this year, I started with what I called These Are the Days of Elisha, and that was part one. If you missed it, I'm sorry, but I will give a little recap. It was, in any case, just a bit of a teaser. So this morning, we're going to continue. If we can put my slides up. We're going to continue with part two, but I just want to give us a quick, brief encapsulation of part one, and then we're going to jump right into it. So over December, God came and gave me a word, and what I feel is for this new season that we're in, and I would like us to work through this as we go. So this is part two. Be back for next week. We'll be part three. Okay, so please get the full word, not half the word. And I started, are we up? Brilliant. I started by saying that I'm going to give three sermons. The first one, these are the days of Elijah. Part two, which is today, these are the days of Elisha. And then part three, these are the days, these are the last days. And we're coming to the last hour, ladies and gentlemen, and I know it doesn't feel like it maybe because you still have deadlines to make. You still have to go to work tomorrow morning, and you still got to earn a salary. And Ross gave a great sermon end of last year why we still need to work. So please do not go sell everything. And but I believe it's 11:45. And we're coming to the 12th hour. We're coming to the zenith hour before the Messiah returns. But a few things still need to happen. And one of the promises that God gave us, or God gave me, was Amos 9. It's something we did preach on last year. We were quite a bit of time of Amos. And Ross also preached a very similar word out of Jeremiah, if I remember right, Ross. Praise God. And God is basically saying that He really wants to bless us. As we go to the first slide, Amos 9. God really wants to bless us. He really wants us to rebuild and give us back what we've lost. And He's speaking to the Bride of Christ. This is a word for the Bride of Christ. And as you are part of the Bride of Christ, and we're all part of the Bride of Christ, many of this will fit into your life. Now, as I said last time, this is really important. It is very dangerous when we bring prophetic words to stretch things too far. Anyone that's played with clay dough will know when you stretch something too far, it will break. So I want to remind us as we work through this word and work through this season that if we make it an ultimate, we're going to miss it. John Bevere says, we must be careful not to major on minors and minor on majors. We take important things and we make it less important. We take unimportant things and we make it important. So I just want to put this disclaimer once again this morning into this world, this word. And then in the next slide, you'll see that it says that they'll rebuild their ruined cities. So the Lord is speaking to us and He's giving us again the cities. And something that I would like us to start looking more into this morning, and then just the last little recap, is that Elijah, the word Elijah, the name Elijah, means Yahweh. And we see with Elijah, something amazing with Elijah, we see with Elijah, he's always about God Almighty. Now, two things I didn't mention. There's never been anyone before Elijah that moved like Elijah. Before that, there'd never been anyone that was able to heal like Elijah or raise the dead like Elijah. Elijah was something unseen and unheard of before him. In those days, the prophets were the one, they didn't have the word of God, right? Like you could take out your cell phone and just Google what is the word for the day, and Google or Siri will give you a beautiful word for the day. Okay? They didn't have that option. They had prophets. And they'd never seen a prophet like Elijah before. The second thing about the word Yahweh, if you understand the Jews, the name of God is so holy that they are not allowed to say Yahweh. If you go to Israel or you speak to people or Jews, you'll see they write God G_D. They take out the vowel, and they do that also with the word Yahweh. And if you pronounce the word Yahweh without the vowels, God is the very breath that you take. So, isn't that amazing? We cannot even breathe without the name of Yahweh. And that's what we get when we look at Elijah. Then Elisha comes along, and Elisha means God is Savior. God is our salvation. God comes to save us. Right. Brilliant. We're all on the same page. And I quickly spoke about the great braai of Elijah. Die bringen braai. Remember, you brought your sacrifice. And we pointed out on Elisha, who received the mantle of Elijah. And we're going to go a little deeper today into both of those. So what the word was that the Lord gave me was that in December, I felt the Lord said, these are not only the days of Elijah, but these are also the days of Elijah. No, other way around. These are not only the days of Elijah, but these are also the days of Elisha. And so I started researching into what that means and the difference between the two. We read quite a bit about Elijah. We read quite a bit about the spirit of Elijah. Malachi prophesies that there will be a spirit of Elijah will come before Christ, before the day of the Lord. And what we see there is he's speaking about two things, but mostly speaking about John the Baptist, the one that will come before Christ, but also speaking about Christ's return, the second coming, and that the Lord will pour out the spirit of Elijah upon all of us. Now, when we said, oh, what is the spirit of this, spirit of that, or what spirits are we drinking? We have enough spirit problems in spirit of drinking problems in Durbanville. So we must be careful about this. But basically, we're speaking about an anointing. We use the word anointing these days. It makes it a little bit more tangible and a little bit more feasible for us. And then, before I run, I'll run myself. All right, so let's carry on this morning. What does this mean for us? The showdown. God said something very profound to me in December. He said the following. He said, there's coming a time in this new season of a showdown. So, you remember the story. I'm not going to go into all the scripture. Please write down 1 Kings 18. So I want us to work through 1 Kings 18 and 1 Kings 19. But we see there's this great showdown, right? The great Bring and Bry. What happened at the great Bring and Bry? Elijah says to the king, to Ahab, and he says to him, bring all your prophets. 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of Asherah. Now, here's what we need to learn, okay? What was Baal? Baal was the god responsible for rain, thunder, lightning, and dew. What had not happened for a very long time? The prophet said, thou shalt not raineth. And it didn't rain. God himself said to the kings, God himself said to Israel, God himself said, I am God alone. And you have these other gods, but let me show you who is the true God. Now, we're here. Okay. Here's a little thing that you haven't read in scripture before. Did you know that Israel believed that God was married. Huh? Prove it, Bernie, prove it. I'll now. Here's the funny thing about the goddess of Asherah. She was a fertility god. And she could bless in innumerable different ways of blessings. What's interesting is in Egypt, in the East, she's known as the mother god. She's worshipped as the tree of life. And what they did was, they would take these trees, and they'd chop it down, and they'd make it into an idol of her, and they'd plant this tree in the ground, this dead tree, this trunk in the ground. And it wouldn't look like her. She's this ugly little thing with big bosoms. I didn't put a picture up. Too many kids in our services. God is saying that there's a showdown. Now you'll notice in South Africa, we've had a little bit of a shaking this last while. Steinhoff, in government, all over you're noticing shakings. Now, good bad news. The shakings is not done. But here's the difference that I believe is going to come. In the past, we could always blame someone. So we go, no, it's Baal's fault that there's no rain. You got to blame Baal. Or it's the Baal prophets, right? They were the government. It's the king's fault. You've got to blame someone. Why do we not have lightning, electricity? It's Eskom's fault. It's always someone else's fault. But here's the beauty, ladies and gentlemen. God wants to come and show himself king. And the beautiful thing with the showdown is, after the showdown, this prophet takes out his sword. It was probably about this long, by the way, in those days. They didn't have much metal. If you go to Israel and you go to the museums, you'll see that the swords were quite short in this day. And with that thing, he killed 850. So he was a busy man that day. But here's the thing. No glory could go to man. You don't come out of a day like that and go, okay, glory goes to man. Right? It was about the prophet. It was all about God. Because God sent the fire and consumed. It was the worst braai in the end ever. There was nothing to eat afterwards. Last Sunday, the Lord gave me a vision, and I saw, just to fit into the words that was brought this morning, I saw that we were in a desert. And like Moses, we're in this desert, and there's these little fires. And every time we see a fire, we think that's the pillar of God, and we run to the fire. And many of them were man-made. Some of them were even traps. But the next thing, this all-consuming fire just comes from heaven, but it's like the biggest bonfire you've ever seen. And it so dwarfs any man-made fire that everyone was going, this is God. I believe this is the season we're about to start stepping into. And some of us are going to start seeing this in our workplaces. Some of us are going to start seeing this in our families. But you don't understand, I've been praying for my son for 20 years to get saved and nothing. I've been praying for my business and nothing. You don't understand, I can never get a job. You can never understand. And I'm saying that God wants to bless us, but I have to give the disclaimer why. We'll get to that as we go through this. But here's the problem about the Queen of Heaven. Next slide. Manasseh was the son of the very famous king Hezekiah. He goes and puts this Asherah pole right there. And we've got the right scripture up. No, one back. There we go, two kings. Yeah. So he carves this thing, and he puts it next to God in the temple. Because they believed she was the tree of life. She was the one married to Yahweh. Do you understand the implications what that means, who Christ is? It means God is a liar. Because how can he then bring a son? How can he be a Trinity God? It's so bad that even in many, many years later in the next scripture, our dear friend Jerry is still rebuking them. And right there, Jeremiah 44, verse 19. And this is the woman's responding. Besides, the woman added, do you suppose that we are burning incense and pouring out liquid offerings to who? The Queen of Heaven. See, this is the time of Babylon, and they were blaming God and saying, because we removed this idol, that is why we're not blessed. That is why we're not blessed. Deuteronomy 16, I don't have it up right down, Deuteronomy 16, 21 to 22, God says, you shall not plant yourself any tree as a wooden image near the altar which you built for yourselves to the Lord God. You shall not set up sacred pillars, which God hates. Not only did they put this thing up, they put it up in the temple, right there by God himself. God, ladies and gentlemen, is calling us to a showdown of the spirit of this age. Now you all look at me and go, well, praise God, Bernie, I don't worship the Queen of Heaven. Because I have no queen, right? Next week, I'm going to come and show and explain what the Queen of Heaven is for us today. Which I'll be taking out of Revelations. Be here for that. All right. So, what is this? Where's this going? All right, we are speaking about the blessing of double. Awesome. Great prosperity word I'm giving you this morning. God's going to give you double. All right. So, if you strap yourself in, God wants to bless you. And remember, we explain to you why. So, I know with prosperity gospel, we do not do a show for prosperity gospel at all. We tend towards the left. If you hang around me, I will always be telling you what's wrong, not what's right. Okay, that's kind of the way I'm inclined, right? Most of us are like that. And every wife is looking at their husband going, yeah, this yay die. We as men are very good at seeing what's wrong. So when Matty and I are driving in the car, we have way different understandings. I cannot understand how a car can drive 100 in a 120 lane. It's beside me. I can't understand it. It's I live on the edge. Okay? If you're not doing 121, you're not driving. Be in the slow lane. It comes from the fact that I own a motorbike. I was this morning rebuked by my driving. I came in with my motorbike. And so for all of you that saw me arriving this morning, I apologize. It's a little bit late. I left home about a minute ago. And then I arrived here. So for me, it's hard to understand why we drive so slow. But nonetheless, so today, giving a word of double blessing is outside of my character, outside of my joy, and brings the fear of the Lord in me. All right, I need to just say that from the word go. But here's the thing. We're working towards, why is the Lord saying that this is the time of Elisha? We don't see that in Scripture. We don't see Malachi saying that Elisha will return. We see Elijah returning. A lot of us on construction. That's here. As jy met 'n klein bantam bakkie ry. Okay, that old Datsun bakkie. and you've got to remove a lot of load, you're going to need a bigger bucky. That's what the word is. Okay? So it's not that you can ride around in your Fortuna. All right? It's not that you can now go from a single cab to a double cab. It's the fact that there's twice the work to be done. Are you with me this morning? We need this anointing. We need this favor. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to do in the time that we have what God's called us to do. Write that down. Doubly blessed. 2 Kings 2, 9 and 10. So Elijah's about to be taken away, and Elisha is following the prophet. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, okay, because now Elijah's like every time, leave me. He says, no, I'm going with. He says, leave me, now he comes with. So, he says, so Elijah's kind of, I think, a little irritated at this point. Elisha says to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away. Listen to the humility here. Listen to the humility. And it is humility. I'm going to explain to you why. Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor. Okay, let me explain this to you. So, you go to your board. The CEO is about to retire. Okay? And you go and you say, please can I earn double what my boss earned? That's what you're asking for the same work. Same position in any case, not the same work, but the same position. I want to earn double what the CEO before me earned. Okay, that is probably the most arrogant thing you've ever heard, but I'll explain to you why it's not. Listen to Elijah's reply. You have asked a difficult thing. Now, the interesting thing with this is, here's the difference that I'm starting to aim towards, what I feel the difference is between Elijah and Elisha. Elijah should have understood that what he's asking for is biblically correct. And immediately Elijah, who is the greatest prophet that has ever lived to that day, now has to deal with the fact that someone's wanting to do double and have double. Can we get that next slide? According to Deuteronomy 21, verse 17, we find the concept of the double portion. So the first time mentioned in the law of Moses. And the law goes like this. The firstborn shall receive double what the other siblings receive. Is that good? Elisha is going and saying, Elijah, I see you as my spiritual father. And because I'm the only child, I ask for the double portion blessing. It is his right for him to ask for that. Him not seeking that would have been missing what God is doing. And here's the beautiful thing about Elisha. If you go and count the miracles, Elisha did double the recorded miracles of Elijah. He also faced double the trouble. It was not easier, it was harder, and because Elisha knew that Elijah was not bold enough and not able to take out Jezebel, for him to remove Jezebel, to remove Ahab, he would have needed a double blessing. He would have needed that boldness because the greatest prophet who had ever lived was not able to stand up against Jezebel. As we go to that next slide, we see the picture on the left, Elijah with the angel under the broom tree with the bread, and Elisha, such a beautiful picture if you remember, he was bald. Don't ever tease bald people. You will meet a bear, and he will maul you. My name is Barnat, bear. You will meet me if you mess with bald people. I'm just joking, but that is what my name means. Okay. So why the Elisha anointing, and not only the Elijah anointing? On the Mount of Transfiguration, we see Christ coming up this mountain. He takes his closest disciples, and two figures appear before them, Moses and Elijah. Do you remember that? And Peter says, man, it's good to be here. Let's build these guys like shacks. In those days, it was like houses, little apartments. But let's build these guys. And Jesus says, no. We believe that there's two witnesses that come in Revelations, and we're going to get into this next week more. But the belief is the one is Moses and the other one is Elijah. Come back for part three. So that's the scripture we find in Matthew. I think it's recorded in most of the Gospels. Can we go back to that picture? What do we see with Elijah and Elisha? We see Elijah, a sulking man under a tree, who's just had the most amazing day in the history of mankind. I mean, this guy can open the skies like a tap. On, off, on, off, on, off. Takes a few prayers, but on, off. We see that Elijah gave up. He's sitting there, he's given up. We notice in Elijah's life that he's a loner. Matthew, I don't know if you're going to find that slide, but he goes to before God and he says, oh Lord, I'm the only prophet. I'm the only one left. Knowing that God has saved, I think, 400 others. He's had confirmation of this. He knows this, but he still says, I'm the only one. He's a loner. And then look what he says. Take my life. 1 Kings 19 verse 4. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Who would ever say that? Think about what he's saying. You know what I pick up in that? I pick up pride. Because he's gifted. He's more gifted than anyone's lived. So he goes, well, because I'm gifted, because I'm Elijah, I'm no better than them. Of course you're not better than them. They sinners, you're a sinner. We're all sinners. By the grace of God. The only difference between Elijah and the rest is the grace of God. Are you with me? So when this man who's now facing this moment where Jezebel says, what you did to my prophets, I will do to you before you wake tomorrow. Immediately he goes, I'm undone. I'm no greater than my forefathers. Elisha, on the other hand, he looks at this, and I truly believe that this was a humble man. He asks for a double portion. What does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? What does that mean? It means he understands that he is a son. He has the spirit of adoption by which we call out Abba Father. I ask for a double portion because I'm a son. Not just the son of Elijah, but he's son of the living God. And because of that, I ask, what is for me? Christ says that we will do even greater works than he has done because of a double portion. Now be careful. Stretch something too far, we miss it. Don't major or minor. It's just an interesting fact. Put it in your bank. And here's what we see with Elisha. Elisha is a team player. Can we go to that team player? One day the group of prophets came to Elisha and told him, as you can see, this place where we meet with you is too small, right? This church building is too small. So let's move down to the Jordan River where there are plenty of logs. There we can build a new place for us to meet. So who's the greatest prophet alive at that moment? Elisha. Who's making the recommendation? The others. We don't get a big man model here that goes, I'm the man of God. I'm double what Elijah had. How dare you even suggest that? He goes, okay, that's great. Let's do it. And they say, please come with us. And then from there, they go and chop the logs, and that's where the axe. You remember axe fell into the water? He throws a stick and the axe floats on water. Okay. We notice with Elisha a humility. See, he's also known. Where'd I write that? He's also known as the leader of the sons of the prophets. So they called something like sons of the prophets or something like that. But he was the one in charge of them and looked after them and trained them. He is a team player where we see Elijah is always alone. So part of this is, if you want to build a godly building, if you want to build a godly kingdom, a godly family, a godly church, you cannot do it alone. Jy kan nie staan as pa van die huis en dink ek kan dit alleen doen nie. You can't. I've seen what our forefathers have done. Have you noticed? We have messed up. Men and women of God, we have messed up. Because as soon as I have a problem with my family, I don't share. There's a very well-known Afrikaans gesegde. Ons praat nie oor finansies of seks nie. We don't talk out the house. Ons praat nie uit die huis nie. Who was not taught that? Thank you. We were all taught we don't talk out the house. And yes, we do honor the house. I'm not saying dishonor. But I'm saying when you need help, put up your hand. I really struggled in school with science. It was a mystery to me. I was this guy. Please explain. I don't understand. Can you explain? And I'll never forget my standard six teacher would always say to me, I would always go, but why? I don't understand, but why? He always say, and his last answer was always the same. Because that's the way God made it. And that was good enough for me. Although a bit upset when I answered in the test, that's the way God made it, and he said it was wrong. Pass up. There's another story where Elisha does delegation. So we find that Elijah was given orders by the Lord to go and anoint two kings. I think it's two guys that had to become kings, and then to anoint Elisha. And all he does is anoint Elisha. He doesn't do the other two. So Elisha goes and does it. But then he sends this one young prophet and says, okay, dude, you're going to do this. You're going to go anoint this guy next king. And by the way, when you're done, run. Maybe Elisha was a bit lazy and he didn't want to do the running part because he had to run for his life, as you read there in the bottom. What's the point? What's the point of the blessing that Ross was preaching and that I was preaching about Amos? What is this point? So that God may be glorified. The reason that God wants to give us this nation, this land, this blessing, is because God wants to be glorified. You can say what you want, but if you as Israel went up the mountain and you're facing off your two gods that you've allowed into your house, and you're facing off the real God, and you know it hasn't rained for a long time, and yet God himself throws a pillar of fire from the sky, and it consumes everything, and the next thing, it's raining. It's really coming down. You will know there's a true God. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about God building his kingdom. I believe there's going to become shakedowns where someone in Eskom is going to stand up and say, "Thus says the Lord. We will build it God's way, and they will prosper, and it will work." I believe we're going to have situations where people are going to say, "But we can't trust you. We can't trust." And someone's going to say, "God says," and it's going to happen. It's going to be supernatural. It's going to be immediate. It's going to be open. It's going to be wild. And we're only seeing the little tap turning now, so it's still going to take a while. But we're going to see mighty exploits of God in our time and in our nation and in our generation. There's already people in this church that has been blessed supernaturally. Ross and I are having this conversation this week, where we're seeing people being blessed supernaturally. Where people are saying, "That's not heard of. That is not how it works. You cannot have such favor." And that's the moment where you say, like Uncle Angus always says, "But God, but this is my God." And all glory go to him. Going back to the word that we had last year where Ross was starting to speak about the seven mountains. God wants to raise people up into positions so that his glory might be shown. And what comes with that is moving supernaturally. It's not about ticking the box. It's not about being the best accountant and being the best CEO accountant and CFO and OFO and PDO and UDO and I don't know, all these abbreviations. But there will be a supernatural ability to do supernatural things that will prove that God is God. And next week we're going to look at what is stopping us from walking into that. And next week we're going to pray that the Lord comes and delivers us. Are the things stopping us? Man, this is good preaching. Come on, church. I'm so excited about this word. I climbed on my mountain bike yesterday. I did a 20K cycle on a single track, technical downhill there in Bloemendaal, and I nearly died, and it was the most amazing experience ever. Because I'm so excited about what God's doing. I'm not an excitable person. Hang with me, I'm boring. Let's close. God is raising up a bride that will show the world the bridegroom. And here is the kickback. Because we are loved. This is my favorite hymn. Luckily, we've got an older generation that knows what hymns are. Tonight, I'm going to struggle. I'm going to say hymn, and I'm going to say, "What about her?" And I go, no, it's not. No. Hymnal. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." The NIV says it so beautifully. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, If we walked in the revelation of how loved we are, we would be delivered of everything on the spot. If you understood the lavishing of God on your life, the loving Almighty God, you would not submit under loneliness, depression, stress. The cares of the world would be thrown off because you are loved. Yesterday, after my amazing cycle, and I couldn't walk. It's a miracle. You've seen a miracle happen this morning. I'm not walking, I'm running up the stage. My little 14-month sweetheart, the joy of my life, threw a tantrum like you can't believe, because I wanted to feed her and she wanted to feed herself. And every parent knows and appreciates the joy of a tantrum. It's never ending. If only she knew my love for her. But it doesn't change. That tantrum does not change my love for her. I might need to speak to some counselors in the church, but I was giggling at her while she was throwing this tantrum out of the pure joy of going, no matter how much you do this, because I'm seeing myself before God. God! Jeffrey! God! Breakthrough! Why? Why do you not answer? Why don't you help? I'm having tantrums before God all the time. Anyone else like that? Just your children? Okay, it's fine. It's awesome. Teach them this. God still loves us. Let us pray. Before we pray, God, John Piper says this thing. Most of us know this. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. If I can leave us with one thing to chew through, God is most glorified in us when we are most complete, satisfied in Him. Father, we come and pray. We pray this morning as sons and daughters, as children of the living God. We don't pray as orphans. We don't pray as beggars. We don't pray as being desperate. We don't pray out of soul. We don't pray out of our flesh. We pray out of the Spirit that calls unto the Abba Father, that says, let your glory come. Lord, we desire as Moses to come out of Egypt. And as Moses, we desire to go up the mountain to worship you. We don't desire money. We don't desire things. We don't desire the world. We desire you. We don't desire miracles, fame, rich, power. We don't desire those things. We desire you. We ask for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We ask for the things of God, but we don't desire them. We desire to know you and to love you and to walk with you and to know your voice. Just to hear you, Lord, we desire you. And we ask at the same time for our portion our allotted portion as sons and daughters. We desire to see your kingdom come in this world. We desire to see it at Checkers, at Pick and Pay. We desire to see it at Sunlam. We desire to see it in every corporation, in every hospital, in every place. Where people walk out of hospitals and not say the doctor healed me or medicine healed me, but God healed me. Where we walk out of the church and we met with the Messiah. Lord, it's getting late and it's getting serious. It's getting dark around us, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, for the spirit of Elijah that is amongst us, the anointing of Elijah that's amongst us in the last day church. As Joel prophesied that we'll have the Spirit of the living God, we'll have the Holy Spirit inside of us that is more powerful than anything else, that whom shows us Christ and leads us. We desire to see the fruit of the Holy Spirit manifest in our lives. We desire no more to struggle with habitual sins. We desire no more to struggle with the poverty of this earth in so many places other than just finances. We desire to be generous. We desire to see your kingdom come, so that you may be glorified. And all God's saints said, Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.